So, Lisa, why did you decide to do some 5-minute segments?
Well, my good friend Sal Monaco asked me if I would like to appear on local television and showcase some of my work. And I said, sure, Sal, why not? Why not go for it? And it would be a good way to connect with other artists and meet new people. I thought it would be an enjoyable experience and a way to share my work with others.
Okay. It seems to me you have a deep love of music, of singing, of writing songs. Where do you think you got this from? Your mother, father, grandparents?
Well, I was exposed to the music industry as a child because my father was a sound engineer, and so he took me with him on jobs sometimes, and I watched him set up the sound equipment, and I was able to meet local bands that he mixed sound for, such as Talis with Dave Constantino, Paul Varga, Billy Sheehan. And I was also able to meet actor with Jesse Galante, and I started to look up to these bands and think, wow, that would be cool if someday I could write music and perform like they do.
Okay. But your father didn't even encourage you to become a musician, right?
No, not necessarily. So I became a software analyst. The music is something I do as a hobby in my spare time. And I think that it's something that the interest was something that I acquired on my own from listening to the radio. Music was always savior to me. When times when I felt like I was down, I would turn on the radio, and it always seemed to make me feel happy about myself.
Okay, and you wrote songs early on a Casio keyboard. Was it just a love of music, or was this a way to tease your brothers and sisters or to entertain them since you were the eldest and you probably started babysitting them earlier?
It was used as both. I received the keyboard from my parents. I think it was a Christmas present. And so I would tinker around with it and write up these simple melodies. Sometimes when I was babysitting my younger sisters and brothers, we would taunt each other. We would write songs about each other, make fun of each other, and it was all good.
It was all doll and fun, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, what about the song titled Invisible Heart? What's the meaning of the title?
Well, the meaning of the title is that sometimes when you love somebody, that person doesn't always see how you feel for them, and it's almost like it feels like your heart is invisible.
Was this written out of like personal experience or just something you thought about a lot?
It was written based on personal experience. You see so many people who are in love with other people, and the other people just don't see or can't understand the faith that's there, the faith that the other person has in them. And it's a song about faith and not giving up on love.
Okay, also, you wrote the song Closer. Well, why did you title it Closer?
Well, it's actually a song about breaking up and making up. They say the best part about breaking up is making up. And, you know, in the song, the chorus line is, come closer to me, my love. And basically that's where it came from.
Except when I heard that song, it reminded me of the Carpenter song, Close to You. It seemed like it's like written in the spirit of close to you, that I feel real bad that Karen Carpenter, she had a great voice like you, and she died at 32 of an eating disorder. Did Karen Carpenter inspire you to write this song?
She wasn't an influence to me, but I think it's very interesting that you're making a comparison there.
It seems like the song is the same thing. Your song Closer is about a woman that has a love for this guy, and she's trying to get this guy to like her. And Karen Carpenter's song Close to You, she's talking about this great guy that all these women like. Seems like it's similar in a sense.
Yes, I guess it could be similar.
Okay, and what about the song you wrote about, I forget the title of it, it's about a stalker.
Yes, that's a common theme. So many women and men experience the stalking.
It seems today that there's like more stalking of women and more stalking of celebrities now than ever before. You have a reason, do you think, why this is happening?
I think sometimes people become obsessed and they're not sure how to deal with their obsession. And so they drive by the person's house, they leave notes in the person's door, they show up in places where the person's scheduled to be because they don't know how to get into that person's life. It's almost like the obsession has gotten out of control.
Okay, when you write, where do you write? You got a study? You just write like on a kitchen table? What's the best place for you to write?
I'll write anywhere. I'll write when I'm sitting on the train, on the airplane, in my living room, at work, on lunch break. I'll write outside. It doesn't matter where. I get my ideas, and it doesn't matter where I am. I'll just write them down.
What usually inspires you to write? Is it sad things, real
people,
happy things?
Relationships, yeah, sadness, happiness, all of those things.
Okay, and when you write a song, what do you usually do first? You usually write the lyrics first or the melody?
Well, usually the melody will come into my head and then the lyric will follow.
So the melody comes first?
Yeah, but they're very close. The lyrics don't come that far behind from the melody.
Did you ever write a song like Paul McCartney wrote the song Yesterday, where he got the melody from a dream, that he just woke up from a dream and he just sang nonsense words into a tape recorder so he would have the melody on a tape recorder? Did something like that similar ever happen to you?
That sometimes happens. Most of the time when I dream, I forget what I dreamt about. By the time I wake up, it's gone. So usually the songs will come to me during my waking hours.
During your waking hours? Well, what about writer's block? What's your best solution for writer's block?
Is to really just brainstorm, just write things down, write phrases down, and then put it all together afterward.
What about when you have writer's block? Does a good walk help, or a good jog, or a bicycle ride, or something like that?
Yeah, sometimes you just need to get away from what you're working on and then come back to it at a later time.
Seems like you're a very hard worker. Do you think you got that from your mother or father?
I think I got my work ethic from both of my parents. They're both very hardworking people, especially my mother. And I'm just not the type of person who likes to sit down on the couch after work and watch TV. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, because if that's what floats your boat, that's fine. But I can't sit still. I need to constantly be doing something.
And you seem like, to me, a very high-energy person. Like, I know some people, if they worked a stressful job like you, and you're bringing up a son by yourself and doing all this other stuff, that they would just want to, when they got free time, just like sit back and just watch TV or just watch a movie. It seems like you're a very high-energy person, that you always like to be doing something really constructive.
Well, I often wish I had more energy. I just push myself to do these things that I want to do.
What are your some of the songs that you're planning to compose in the future?
Well, I'm working with my good friend Donna Canoro, and we're co-authoring some music together. We have an old-fashioned tune that we're writing. We also have a tune called Full-Length Mirror, and it's about women and body image. I also have a song that I'm working on called I'll Never Learn, and it's about mistakes that I've made in the past and how the cycle repeats itself. It's a learning experience. You make a mistake, you learn from it, and you move on. But sometimes you learning from mistakes can be a good thing. You seem to progress into a different stage, after you've gone through situations.
Okay, that's good. Also, you seem to be a perfectionist. Where do you think you got that from?
Well, I'm a Virgo, so that might be part of the reason I'm a perfectionist. But I've always just felt like I had to do things a certain way, and they had to be done right, just so.
Because I'm a perfectionist with my writing. Like, I write poems and short skits, and I'm not 100% satisfied with anything I write. That, let's say, maybe 10 years from now, I'll figure out a way to improve a poem. Is that the way you are with your songs?
I'm always looking for ways to improve my work, yes.
So let's say 10 years from now, you find a way to improve a song, will you change it?
Oh yeah, definitely. If it will make the song better, I'm open to change.
Did that ever happen with you?
Yes, actually it has.
What do you prefer to perform at? Do you prefer to perform at coffee houses or bars or?
I like the coziness of the coffee house atmosphere. For example, the Clarence Center Coffee Company. The lighting in that place is just so warm, and the way it's decorated and the colors that are painted on the walls are very soothing to me. I also like to play at Cafe Allegro. Spot Coffee is great. Bars are okay, except that it's a different crowd that you're catering to. It's a totally different audience.
So you got to sing different songs at bars as opposed to coffee houses?
I don't change my song selection much. I just, it's just a different, you just have to prepare differently for it.
Did you ever think of, like, trying to be a lead singer for a band? Because I noticed you got a very, very good voice.
Well, the thought had crossed my mind, but I'm too much of an individual. I prefer to be a solo act.
Okay. Also, you wrote in your bio that the first person that inspired you was Madonna. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, my parents gave me a tape cassette of her first album, and I used to listen to it. And then, of course, when she became big, it seemed like all the girls were dressing up like her, wearing the beads and the lace, and I started doing the same thing. So I think it's just part of the pop culture that rubbed off on me. And I, at the time, I was very big into other groups too, like Wham with George Michaels, and the 80s music had a big influence on me, and even Boy George, I used to dress up like him with my little sister. We used to just braid our hair and wear long dresses and very colorful scarves.
Really?
We were into the Culture Club and Duran Duran and all of those groups. It was just a fun time.
What about the Beatles? Did they influence you at all? The Rolling Stones?
Yes, my parents used to listen to the Beatles all the time. I think my mom was a big John Lennon fan, and her brother was a big fan of Paul McCartney. He still is, actually. And my father was into the Rolling Stones, so when we had family gatherings, we would always play the Beatles and the Wings and the Rolling Stones.
Growing up, did you listen to 97 Rock or any other FM station that really inspired you?
I used to listen to the weekly Top 40 and the pop stations, but I was also into Led Zeppelin because my parents were into that group. So,
did you play in your high school band?
No, I didn't play in my high school band, but we did have recitals, and I did participate in one with my Casio keyboard.
Okay, so is your goal in the future just to get a real good paying gig in the future at someplace?
Well, my goal is to keep writing music and to keep playing out, and whatever happens, happens.
Okay, and also notice that you're very gutsy, that some of your songs are like, you know, like people would say negative, but I think it's okay. But like I got a lot of criticism because some of my poems are negative. I just wrote the poems to get out negative feelings. And I noticed some of your songs are, you know, I'd say, a little negative. Did anybody ever criticize you for that?
Well, people are constantly criticizing. It's easy to criticize. I dare those people to just get up there and do what I'm doing, people who are quick to criticize. I think it's fine to criticize if you do it in a constructive way and if you have suggestions on how the artists can improve themselves. That's fine, but to say I don't like that song and not give a reason is not very fair. I think if you're going to say I don't like that song, you should at least explain why. Why don't you like it? And is there a way that it can be improved?
Because I had people say to me that all your poems should be positive. If it's not positive, you shouldn't write it. Did you ever come across criticism like that?
Yes, that is a good point. I think you have to just go with your heart, and you know, even if the subject matter is depressing or negative, you just need to go with it. Sometimes you just need to express yourself.
Would you write, besides songs, you write poems separately, like Paul McCartney does and other people?
Yes, I have written poems.
Are you ready to recite one of them?
No, I'm not.
Okay, what about on your Casio keyboard? Are you ready to sing a few bars of the one of the first songs you ever composed?
Oh, boy. I knew you would ask me this question. Okay, the first song I ever wrote was called You and Me, and it was extremely simple. It went like this. I love you, you love me. That makes two, you and me. So.
Very good. Did you ever think of including that in one of your songs?
No, because it was so simple and basic.
No, but I'm saying sort of like a song where you talk about the songs you compose when you're real young in grammar school and then the songs you compose later on when you get older. Or just a song reminiscing about the good times when you were in grammar school where things were much simpler, you didn't have to worry about dancing.
I'm not sure if people would want to hear songs about my horse. I had written a song called Chestnut Rose.
You owned a horse?
Yes, I did. And I wrote this song.
Your family was rich, they owned horses?
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Or was that when you were working as a groom in the place?
I began grooming at the age of 12, and I worked around the horses until I was 17.
But you didn't actually own the horse, right?
I did own a horse, and she was a riding horse. And I wrote a song about her, and it was called Chestnut Rose.
You ready to sing a few bars?
I forgot the words.
Oh, that's sad. So you must have been very sad when that horse died.
I was very sad when she left. Very sad.
What do you mean they left? They sent the horse to the glue factory?
Not exactly. It's kind of a long story, and I'm not going
to
get into it.
It's too sad to talk about.
It's too sad to talk about.
You don't want to write a song about your fun childhood memories? It seems like a lot of songs are like that, and
Oh,
hate
I think
to
we're
say,
out of
Lisa,
time.
Oh. We're out of time.
Time. Oh, man.
And I've got to end this interview.